3 of the Witchology podcast. I am very excited to be here with you again this week and to talk about all sorts of things, a little bit of astrology and a little bit of divination as well. So if you're a tarot lover or are interested in tarot at all, getting into it, whatever, then this is the episode for you. The book review this week is Decoding the Stars, A Modern Astrology Guide to Discover Your Life's Purpose by Alison Scott. This book is published, or going to be published, by the Quarto Group, and it's going to be published on the 3rd of January 2023, so you are hearing it hot off the press. So shall we have a bit of a synopsis? I think so. What are you meant to be doing in this life? And what is it you're doing now? Answering these questions when just trying to get through the day might feel overwhelming, so let astrologer Alison Scott do some of the heavy lifting and act as your guide in decoding the stars. Through easy-to-read language, this book will kickstart your journey into a deeper understanding of yourself. Decoding the Stars provides guidance for self-development and gives direction to those struggling with life's challenges by examining the details of your birth chart and through guided rituals, giving fresh new life to the practice of astrology. So let's get into the review. I had a birth chart reading a couple of years ago from the absolutely brilliant Anthony Perotta. We love him. He's our kind of resident astrologist at Witchology. But I never really fully understood my birth chart until I read this book. Honestly, it is so clear and so easy to digest. It just, Alison just explains things in such an accessible way, is how I would describe it. It's set up in sections that you can then kind of flick through and go through based on your birth chart. So you will need to use some sort of service to get your birth chart, you know, straight off the bat. And if you've never done that before, that involves knowing your place of birth, obviously your date of birth, and what time you were born. And you can get your birth chart for free from lots of places. I use Time Passages, but there's also Cafe Astrology online, which gives you a lot of detail as well. But yeah, once you've got that, going through this book and going through, like, you know, whether your sun's in the ninth house, whether your sun sign is in 12th house, what that even means, you know, it's so clearly explained and so accessible. I don't know, you'll just never know what you what you did without it. Kind of set up like a journal, so there are places for you to write things down in there and some examples so you can see, you know, just make sure that you're reading it correctly, essentially. It is beautifully illustrated. Or would we say illustrated? Or just designed? It's designed, yeah, I know there are illustrations in it. Let's say illustrated. And honestly, I know I keep saying it, but it makes things so clear. It will make you want to go through it for everybody in your life. Like, after I did myself and I did my husband's chart and assured him, you know, actually working in education is good for you. I found that as well. It kind of highlighted my two personalities, essentially. So I've got Witchology, which is like my creative outlet, but then I also work in higher education, and my birth chart says all of that, so which is really interesting. But then I had to do it for my sister as well, and again, she works in finance, so I'd said to her, well, you know, good news, you're on the right path. So it will definitely be enlightening in that way. And I don't know, it depends on at what point in life you're at, you know. So if you feel a bit more like kind of sure, I don't know, if you're finding that you don't know what you're doing or where you want to go or kind of thing, I think it'll probably be good for giving some suggestions. And then, you know, like with anything, you can take or leave it. But if you kind of feel comfortable where you are, it's still really good as well to kind of see, well, what does your birth chart say? How does that relate to the reality of your life? Are there connections and symmetries or whatever, or are there not? And both of those kinds of things are really interesting to learn, I think. So yeah, this book really helps you to do that. Well done, Alison. Thank you very much for that. It changed my life. So yeah, I would give this book 5 stars. Obviously, I'm not an astrologer. I'm very much a beginner in this area, and I think maybe that's why I found it so helpful. So if you are someone a bit more versed with astrology, I think there's still value in it for you, because it might give you a way of explaining all of those different things to your customers. You know, if you do readings professionally or whatever, you know, or for your family or friends or whoever, and you need a way of explaining certain things to them, then this can give you the language to do that, because, you know, speaking as a beginner, it's very effective. So yeah, 5 stars for you, Alison Scott. Thank you very much. And keep an eye out for this going on sale after the 3rd of January. It's very exciting, and enjoy. Running a small business in today's economic landscape is no mean feat. Even if you love what you do, the constantly shifting social media algorithms can make it tricky for small witchy businesses to get seen by their perfect customers. Photography, product design, bookkeeping, emails, ugh, everything that goes into making your business work is enough without having to worry about SEO, backlinks, and advertising as well. We believe in the power and magic of the witch economy, and that's why we created Coven Market, a virtual directory of the best witchy businesses, crafters, artists, tarot readers, and shops. And it's designed to elevate your platforms and provide you with the backlinks to boost your SEO. Find out more information at witchologymagazine.com/coven-market-subscription. So a very tenuous link between the book review and my guest this week. We are going to be talking about tarot and what, you know, your journey with tarot and what it can tell you and what it might tell you about yourself, you know. And there's kind of a link between that and decoding the stars. What do the stars tell you about yourself? What does your birth chart tell you? But anyway, a little bit tenuous, but lean into it. Go with me. Our guest this week is Lizzie Burgess of Backyard Banshee, a regular contributor and good friend to Witchology magazine. Lizzie is so generous in sharing her passion and knowledge for tarot, divination, magic, and rituals. With over 14 years experience in event planning, social media marketing, Lizzie is uniquely positioned to support witchy entrepreneurs with practical tips, resources, and guidance to help them succeed. So welcome, Lizzie. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What a joy this is.
It's very exciting to talk to you, always, but especially always today in recording a podcast.
Oh, no, but thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry in advance to everybody for how much I'm going to be gushing about divination. You can't actually shut me up about it.
Oh, we love it, though. It's all good. So I briefly summarised what you do in your bio, but there is so much to it. So shall we start with giving our listeners a bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm really weird. I like anything. I'll break it down quick. Yeah. No, I love all the dodgy, weird, obscure, interesting, like, elements of witchcraft, especially divination. I like that it can be so open-ended. I like that it can be really quick. It can be really beneficial for those who've got like low energy or zero budget, which half of the time is me. Mm-hmm. I have no money and no time. And yes, divination is also endless. There are so many different ways to perform it. It's the craft aspect. It's creating with what you have, and it's beautiful. It's a very tangible way to connect with the universe. It's so versatile. It's multifaceted. It's an absolute joy. So yeah, I love divination. I focus a lot on like protection and prosperity magic. And when I talk about prosperity, I don't just mean money though. I'm talking like good health and lots of time and lots of energy, you know, like an abundance of energy, an abundance of time, an abundance of resources, you know. And I feel very lucky that I get to do this in like a safer space. And yeah, I can't wait to answer some questions about my weird life.
Love it. Definitely here for all of that. Yeah. Here for finding that as well for our listeners and our friends and everyone. All that prosperity and loveliness. So where did your let's talk about tarot specifically, because I know that you weave this into your sort of professional offerings as a witchy friend guide.
Yeah.
general lovely person. So where did your journey with tarot start? What was your, was it your first exploration into divination? Was that your kind of gateway? Your gateway.
My divination? Gateway one, yeah. Do you know what, when I started with tarot, I absolutely hated it. I really did.
Really?
It was not the one. Yeah, so I've been interested in witchcraft as a practice, as well as divination, from a very young age. From about 11, you know, I had at Christmas everybody buying me books about Wicca, you know, like they knew that I was, you know, deeply into it, and they were just indulging me. God love them. Thank you, family, for that. But yes, so I was practicing from a young age, and tarot is obviously one of the big things that you can utilize as a tool as a beginner witch, right? It's something that's really good for introspection and stuff. I hated, passionately hated learning tarot. I found it really difficult. I didn't like the structure. It was a Rider-Waite-Smith deck that I had. So it was the original bright yellow, you know, like, and none of it was selling to me. I remember just being like, why do people like this? You know, this is just not enjoyable. So I used Oracle decks. Like, I had angel cards that, like, I pinched off my mum, you know, like, there's all sorts of things that that I utilized. But tarot was something that I left to the side until numerology, really, like, in my 20s, when I was trying to learn tarot again, when it came around back into my life. Numerology is what helped tarot click for me, because a lot of the numbers have a similar meaning. So if anybody struggles, you know, there you go. And it also helped to know that there were so many different types of decks. Like, when I was younger, I couldn't really come across any of the other ones, and I didn't have the money to buy, you know, any of the gorgeous decks you'd see in metaphysical shops. But now I'm older, you know, we have amazing places like Kickstarter, where you can come across incredibly beautiful, like, ethereal decks. You know, there's artwork out there that really does just call to you. I'm currently working with the tarot cards of modern goddesses, and, like, that's got, like, Beyonce and Medusa and all sorts in there. It's so good. But there are so many different types of decks out there, that there is a deck for everybody, and that also helps with picking up tarot. So numerology and nice artwork really did help me.
That's so interesting. I wonder if that's where, you know, because generally each of us, we are either more in tune with words or more in tune with numbers,
right?
So I guess if you're trying to learn and study tarot from a perspective that is giving you all this kind of, like, ethereal, like, esoteric descriptions of of images, and actually if that doesn't kind of click with the way that your mind works, and actually you're more of a numbers based sort of person, I wonder if it's a bit of that.
Yeah, like, potentially. It's just an avenue to explore anyway. And obviously curiosity is a big vibe for me over here. I'm like, I wonder what I could do with this flower today, you know. So I love being able to explore different forms of divination, and I'm just really grateful that we now live in a time where we have access to so many different types of things. You know, did you know you can buy, like, decks off Etsy, like, just ones you print at home yourself for, like, £5 or less? How amazing is that? Like, how good is that, really?
Wow.
If you have Canva, I think, like, there's free Canva as well. You can get access to free tarot graphics on there, and you could learn, like, the major arcana that way, you know, print them out and play with them at home. You know, me giving you all the hacks here, like,
yeah,
buy, like, £90 deck, get a free Canva account and do it this way, you know. No, but seriously, support, like, independent artists wherever we can. But, you know, when you're learning, you don't know what you like yet, and it's hard to invest, like, a lot of money in a certain practice, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good tip as well, for, like, if anyone is feeling disconnected from tarot as a practice and thinking, well, you know, that this just isn't for me, but I kind of want it to be for me, I want to find, you know, finding a deck, like, starting with finding a deck that really resonates with you is a really good tip. I find that with my, I've got 4 decks, which is actually probably quite a modest collection,
especially collection.
But I find that the one that I get the most I want to say accurate, or more like in tune readings from, with, is one that I actually backed on Kickstarter.
Love that.
I wonder if that, you know, and I do think that that might be what it is. It's kind of connected me to it in that way, in that actually that's the one that gives me what I need most of the time.
I love that. No, do you know what? That's absolutely lovely. And I think that, you know, we should regard tarot as like a friend who wouldn't hold back from giving you hard truths sometimes, and connecting with them and making them personified is a fab way to connect with divination. Like, I do that with all my tools. Like, some of my decks are proper bitches, like, they're horrible. But, like, you need that in your life sometimes, right? Like, you need that kind of honest, and you need that love as well. There, I have lots of decks that, I mean, I'm so lucky that I've been able to get so many decks / obsessed, and there's so many that have stunning artwork and beautiful words of support in their guidebooks. You know, the artists have spent a good amount of time writing and putting their heart into it, and you can really tell, and it does make the world a difference to your own readings. It's so nice to have perspective. That's basically where I'm going. But it's nice to have perspective.
Definitely. And it's all those kind of different connotations and the baggage that kind of comes with everything. It just shows that nothing is at surface level. You can't take anything at surface value, essentially. So when did you start to connect your witchcraft practices with your business life? When did you start kind of finding, because obviously you've had quite an illustrious career already, in event planning, etc. So when did you start to think, oh, I wonder how I can weave this in? Is it something that was always kind of there and the undercurrent, or is it something that you consciously attached to each other, if that makes sense?
It absolutely happened by accident. Like, there was I came out of the brew closet like completely kicking and screaming, because I was on bed rest a lot of the time with my pregnancies, so I spent more time with my divination practice in whatever form that was at the time. And between my two pregnancies, I decided to set up my own event management business, and it just happened to be like how our life is filled with amazing synchronicities, that like something fell off, and that I knew that starting a business was the right thing for me, but it wasn't that business. And I've spoken about this before, so apologies if you've heard me tell this story a million times, but I sent an email to some investors that I was supposed to meet with for like significant funding for my business, apologizing that I wasn't going to come, and that was, I changed my mind, and I didn't want to do this anymore, essentially. And that happened to be the day of my Saturn return, and and I was actually pregnant as well at the time as well, so surprise. So that was like a really interesting one, because you know, sometimes it's hard to think clearly when you're pregnant. And, you know, I just thought I was ill. But in general, I had sent a message to the investors, and I knew I didn't want to do it. And I spent more time with my divination practice, and then found out I was pregnant, and it was just going like that. So for some extra cash, you know, I'd read tarot for some friends. I'd read some oracle cards for friends, and then they told their friends. So that's how I started to charge for a little bit of pocket money while I was working out what I was supposed to be doing. And then it just turned into a thing. Like, all of a sudden I had quite a few customers a month, amazing clients, amazing people with these incredible stories, and I was really connecting with people, and it was just a wonderful coincidence that that's the route my life was going down. And all of a sudden, more and more people were coming to me for readings. I say all of a sudden, a lot of my friends were people that I previously worked with, and so they knew me as a manager, and now they were knowing me as a tarot reader as well. So the conversations were more about like what was happening with their careers and their businesses, and for them to set up in terms of entrepreneurship as well. And like, my last role before trying to set up my event planning business was about supporting the community and how to do that as a business. And I loved that. I loved that so much, but there was no way I could do that and have a baby working like 17, 18 hours a day. So I had to leave that. But and that's why I wanted to start my own business, because I didn't want to work a million hours. Do you want to know something really funny about running your own business? You work a million hours. So it was just that kind of beautiful synchronicity. Everybody was coming to me for like career readings, and that is basically how the Boss Witch stuff came out, and it resonated. I think in my whole like tarot reading career, like officially, I've had maybe two people who've said it's, you know, not been for them. And I've read for people, I can't even quantify the amount of people I've read for, but I'll always remember the two that came back and said, no, that's not true. I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe we can help them another way some other time.
Do you find it a lot of it comes down to the, I mean, I suppose you actually maybe couldn't answer that without inadvertently dragging people, but do you find the client's own self-awareness and willingness to accept certain information has an impact on how your kind of advice and guidance and readings might be received?
Yeah, I mean, I do try and check in with people before I read, and I'm like, are you in the right space for a reading? Because sometimes it can be really heavy, you know, and sometimes we haven't got the time or the energy then and there, but most of the time people are excited to enjoy some tarot, so they're like, yeah, it's fine, you know, can't wait. So on those two instances, I just think maybe that there was something I may have missed, and from that I've learned a lot, you know, like I make sure that I cover all bases, you know. Midway through a reading, I'm like, okay, so these cards are showing a few things here, like, do you want to give me a bit more you know, idea if this is going in the right direction? Because, you know, each card's got like approximately like 4 keyword meanings, right? And then you've got its reverse meanings, and then put different cards together, they mean different things. For those of you who are listening, I'm secular. I don't actually read with spirits or ghosts or you know, ancestors. I read from like the structure of the Rider-Waite-Smith. So it's really interesting for somebody who's just so devoted to divination to also be like, yeah, no, ghost didn't say that. Like, I said that, you know, it's from an introspective perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. That makes total sense, because it's sort of, and I've never thought of it as having a word, if that makes sense. Because I guess now, like, learning that from you, I would say, well, okay, I actually identify with that in the same way. It's more of what is coming through from within rather than what are you receiving from.
Exactly, you know, yeah completely. And that's not to say I'm not agnostic. That's not to mean, like, you know, if you showed me proof that there was something more, I'm obviously going to believe you. I just would love to see the proof. I'm excited to see the proof, but in the meantime, this is how my process works, and it works quite well, I'd say. I've been here like 3 years ish now, and it's just such a joy. It really is. I feel very lucky to be able to just talk about this all the time. I love that my business and my spirituality hold hands. And, you know, when I plan content, when I write, when I have plans to create something, I consult the tarot, I consult like a divination board, I use crystals as a divination method, you know. I love that we've got this beautiful community of people that we can chat with, and I love that there's like an element of critical thinking regarding divination and witchcraft. I think there should be. I don't think we should go in with blind faith. I think we should have an element of skepticism, because it's what keeps us human, it keeps us curious, and it keeps us excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am, and probably always will be, an academic at heart, so it'll always be, you know, it's that layering of all these other, what evidence can you find, or what other information can you kind of layer on top of each other to kind of find that you know, what it is that you're looking for, whatever that might be.
100%. And do you find it hard to trust the universe, or do you find it easier to trust, like, that this is the process and this is how things go?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question, because I think, I mean, well, anyway, for me personally, it runs on cycles.
Right.
And it has so much to do with so many other aspects of what might be going on in life at the time. Sometimes I would just kind of, like this year, looking for a new job, I kind of I ebbed and flowed between the kind of, I will have a new job for Christmas, and I do, by the way. So trusting that would happen, and knowing, like, I know I can see it, I'm gonna have a new job for Christmas, and then also going through interviews, going through things, and then like having that and dealing with that rejection, I think you kind of, it tests your your faith in the universe, I suppose.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It is usually when we're hardest hit, we need to hold on, isn't it? It's really hard. Like, obviously everyone has different circumstances. circumstances and such. But can I be the first to congratulate you on your lovely new job?
That's amazing,
by the way. Congratulations. I completely relate, like the cycles thing. You know, my energy itself, I can say, you know, horoscopes don't mean nothing, but astrology in terms of like charts and transits do. And I find like every Pisces season, without a doubt, you'll find me hibernating, like without a doubt, like I'm just gone. I am AWOL. I am sorry. I have clocked out, you know. And if it wasn't for divination, I wouldn't have been aware of this type of cycle, you know, because now I, you know, track it and look for it and follow the data, and I can plan in advance. And I think that's great that I can plan in advance for something like that, you know, with my history of like management and event planning. It's very useful. It's very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting as well, that I say that a lot. Everything's very interesting to me. That again, talk about synchronicities, because I spoke with the stylist witch last week, and we also talked about how going through these cycles helps you find those times like where you are feeling more like down, for example, what it is that makes you understand that, like is it the seasons. And actually it ended up being that we were talking about like astrological seasons as well last week, but with using different methods for kind of coping with what life might throw at you at that time, or how your own body synchronizes with those cycles as well. It's really interesting.
I mean, I love it. I genuinely do. Like, please, can we keep talking about it? It's like a dirty talk to me. It's my favorite, honestly. So my partner, he's an amateur astronomer. I can't even say astronomer. Have I had a drink? Astronomer. There we go. I wouldn't say he's amateur. I think he's otherworldly in himself. He knows so much. I'm forever proud of him. But like the conversations we have are really interesting, you know, somebody who believes in astrology versus somebody who can physically tell me about, like, tangibly provide proof of the universe. And yet he still gets that, you know, science only goes so far. There's only so much we can know. And it's wonderful that people can surprise you as well when it comes to divination. That's been a wonderful thing for me, I think, in coming out of the closet. Like, people can surprise you. People who, for example, in high school bullied me to shit for being like a lesbian witch, and now they're coming to me for tarot readings, and I can see very clearly in like their birth charts, like things that have happened in their life. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's cause and effect, which there cause and effect is a thing, but it's interesting in terms of a cycle and like the kind of wisdom that can bring to you as a practitioner as well. I think it's making me a better person, divination, and being in this space, like I feel like a better human being, and I couldn't be more grateful for that, to be honest. Yeah.
I love that. When you started that story, in my mind, I almost sort of interrupted saying, yeah, don't worry, the cards already told me you're a bitch. but actually, you know, if going through that with them actually takes you on that kind of, not that you need any support or like any prompting to be empathetic, but like if it sort of takes you down that kind of journey and that understanding, like helps you then process, well, okay, that happened to me in that way because this was happening, I don't know, and you kind of see that richer tapestry that helps you process things, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. And that's not to say that like tarot and the cards and divination doesn't forewarn either. Like, I genuinely believe it does. For example, earlier this year, I was doing a regular reading for a regular client that I was working with that I wanted to see how things were going to go, because I had a feeling that they were going to go a certain way, and I was starting to feel uncomfortable, like, you know, when there's miscommunication, but not for my part, not due to, I don't know, there was something happening, and I needed the cards to help me like articulate that. And it was just like reverse four of swords, and you know, so what's my relationship going to be like with this person, 10 of swords. I did that for maybe 2 months, and in like 6 readings the 10 of swords just kept coming up. I was like, I need to go, you know, like I was like, I need to take a break. And you know, since then I felt so much better. And I think We worry about things like money. We worry about things like reputation. We worry about things like friendships. But at the end of the day, you've just got to do what's best for you. And I find that, like, tarot, again, being like a really good friend to you, oracle cards, angel cards, whatever you use, you know, they're there to help you. They always want what's best for you. They're never there to just be a bully, you know. Some decks may be created specifically for that, you know, like if you've got the rebel deck, you know, that one doesn't pull punches. But yeah, like, you know, getting that support and the articulating that, you know, this is how you may feel, let's do something about that and let's avoid that, you know, and it helps you feel really empowered. And that, like, you can't get that from like a 9-to-5 admin job, you know, like, I'm not, you wouldn't see that any other way. So yeah, it's beautiful. It's weird, wonderful way.
So I separate to witchology, I, as you know, I don't know why I'm telling the listeners. I have been what do you call it, a patron of your Boss Witch sessions, and I fucking loved them.
Thank you.
Huge support through putting together my first guided journal and everything. And actually, I used one of your an example of something that we worked through last week. I'm not going to talk about it again because it's on the last episode. With the gold nail polish that you sent me.
Right.
But I wondered if you would like to share one of your like best, either best Boss Witch stories or best like reading stories where something really transformational happened, or something, or maybe not even hugely transformational, but something that really had an exclamation point after it. You know,
but in terms of like personal readings, I think one that changed my life, I guess, that really helped me like step into this further, I had a reading with somebody, and there was a lot of stuff that came up about her sister, and without revealing too many details, her sister had killed herself. And this is why the reading was going ahead, but of course I knew none of this before the reading, and by the end, you know, we were crying and like holding space for each other, and you know, I could really feel like that this was the perfect time for tarot support for this person. And I was just really grateful to be there. And, you know, I check back in on this person even now, like much later, and, you know, they're thriving. They have a business. They're doing like wonderfully. And I just couldn't be like happier to support them in every capacity, like as a, you know, a customer for their business, as well as like as a friend and as a tarot reader, like person that they'd come to. But it changed my life because it was one of those, like, I can so clearly see this through the symbolism and imagery. And I've never really had that kind of connect with somebody before, to the point that it was almost like mediumship, I felt. And I've never experienced that to that degree since. But in terms of synchronicities, they happen like all the time, like overwhelming.
Does that kind of make you question your secularism as a word, but you know, like,
yeah, no, 100%, that's a great question.
The sister's energy was so strong, it was like, no, I need you to hear me so you can do this with my sister, kind of thing,
right? I think I'd need more proof, like the science in me is just like I'd need her to write me an actual note, you know. But truly, like it was one of those, like, I just need to be that kind of role for you right now, that kind of support that you would have had from your sister. You know, if your sister was here, she'd be deeply worried about you and how you're feeling about, you know, the situation that unfolded. Honestly, like it has been the most powerful reading that I've had, and it just makes me excited to know that they're could be something more, and I'm excited to explore that further in the future, but right now I'm just happy to still be here working in the background supporting all these wonderful amazing creators and artists and people who just want some support in their spiritual growth, whether that's from a secular perspective or if it's, you know,
working with faith as well. I don't judge, so like it's not my place to judge. Who am I to judge, you know? I just do my bit and help out where I can.
Okay, so I mean, as you know, because you write for Witchology magazine, our readers slash listeners are a mix between beginner witches but also quite experienced witches as well, and anywhere in between. Okay, mindful of that there are varying degrees of experience, what would you say, let's say someone was looking at, okay, I want to get into tarot to start with, you know, very from the very beginning. So it might be that they've just never delved into it before, or they are a beginner witch and they want to start somewhere quite accessible. What would your advice be for starting with tarot?
I would suggest looking at what resources they have available to them that don't cost them money, don't cost them time, that benefit them in terms of like they will actually feel like they're progressing in their spiritual growth versus, you know, they're just doing something because they think that's what you should do to be a witch. Like, you're a witch because you are a witch, you know. It's like when you're in the kitchen and you're cooking some food, you're a cook because you're cooking the food. You're a witch because you're engaging with witchcraft, to me, right? You don't have to be born a witch. You can be a witch anytime. That doesn't go away either. In terms of tarot learning, I'd say like check out your local libraries, because you'd be amazed how many books are there for numerology and for astrology and for tarot, because those three as a combo is very potent. For knowledge and for piquing your interest and for getting you excited and curious, like stay curious, have fun with it. Like I mentioned before, like checking out free resources for like tarot cheat sheets. Like I have one on my own website, so it helps you learn keywords for what the cards are for, but also learn about the different types of tarot. There is not one set way to read tarot. There's not one set system for tarot. You know, we've got the Rider-Waite-Smith, but we also have like the Thoth, we have Tarot de Marseille, we have the Egyptian tarot, Paul Christian. There are so many different types. Just find what suits you and what you enjoy. And things like knowing what kind of learner you are beneficial. You know how you mentioned earlier, kinetically, do you learn by actually doing it? Do you want to pull a card a day, see if that helps you? Do you want to do multiple spreads, see how that feels? Do you learn by artwork and symbolism? Do you learn through repetition of things like numbers and numerology? Do you learn through just reading and just taking it all in, watching videos? You know, there are so many amazing tarot teachers on YouTube and Pinterest. Like, Pinterest is a godsend. Like, Pinterest, you'll find all sorts in there. So they're all great avenues to go down. But getting out into the library, physically holding a book, I think the smell of things, making it like a sensory experience, will help you deepen your connection further. And yeah, just find an artist that you like, find the different styles that you like. You might like really like modern artwork, you might like ethereal kind of stuff. For me, my favorite deck is the Moonchild Tarot. What about you?
My favorite deck, oh, I think it'll have to be the one, I mean, it's got to be the Wandering Moon Tarot, because that's the one, like I said earlier, that's the one that gives me the most the most in-tune readings,
right? And like, everybody has like an aesthetic as well, like we wouldn't like to say that we do, but we do. So, you know, following artists that we love on platforms like Instagram and Vero and TikTok, like they're all valid. There is no one right way to do it. So I would also make that like a priority, is take the pressure off yourself to not be so serious with it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. That should be a rule for everything.
right. And we should just like utilize every free resource you can. Definitely.
Wonderful. Okay, so for those that might be a bit more experienced with tarot, they're used to kind of reading for themselves, but maybe haven't used it for more for their business or career. But I mean, I know we all kind of consult the cards for any questions we might be having, and inherently career and work life is going to be coming into that. But is there any tips, are there any tips that you have for reading for like project development or project planning or something specific you know, what, how, where would someone get started with that?
In terms of just tarot, or like with,
or anything really, whatever tips you might have for divination wise
and for starting out with projects, things like, if you haven't connected with your tarot in a while, things like utilizing the major arcana for their themes and symbolism to match your project and have it up. There's a type of divination called iconomancy, which is basically like icon worship, but it doesn't have to be specifically gods, deities, you know, and all the fun ones. It can also be archetype symbolism, and a lot of the major arcana cover a lot of the major themes in our lives. So utilizing that, putting it in your sacred space, keeping it on your desk, having it like the screen, like screensaver on your phone. Is it called a screensaver?
Yeah, wallpaper.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. To help you connect more, looking at different artwork for the same type of card as well can be really helpful, because it can help you connect and deepen your connection with the cards. I tried this for a while for Scorpio season, utilizing all the death card symbolism that I got, and it, you know, like it's really nice to reconnect even one-on-one with one card versus the whole deck. Sigils are godsend, because not only can you use sigils for like your magic and for protection and for literally anything, you can put them in places that you'll see every day, but you can utilize them in tarot spreads as well. You know how we create, well, everyone creates sigils in different ways, but I like to spend some time creating a sigil, or like intuitively draw something, and then utilize that for tarot queries and queries that are going on in my life, and how to incorporate that with the tarot reading itself as like an extra potent boost. Yeah, there's like a million different things.
We could be here all night.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's so great. There's a lot to, for our listeners or anybody to get started with. Amazing. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh my god, you're welcome. Like I told you wouldn't be able to shut me up, like
that's not a bad thing. We love hearing about it, so. Yeah. I do have one final question. It's a bit left field, it's unrelated to everything. I'm asking everybody, if there was going to be a movie made about Lizzie Burgess, Backyard Banshee, who would play you in that movie?
Is it really annoying to say me?
No.
Is it really annoying if I say that?
You must justify.
I've got to justify. No one can speak of my experiences quite like me. I'd have to be like a director or writer, right? You know, we're not having a Witcher problem here where, you know, the main nerd who knows the whole story inside out is being kicked out. But yeah, who would play me? Oh my god!
It can
god.
Be you. That's an acceptable answer, but you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who is. I don't know who do you, like. I don't even know my character enough to associate them with a celebrity, based on the fact that I don't really know that many celebrities. I'm just like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know, like.
Arnie could play you.
Well, Arnie could definitely play me. Could you imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger just walking at Aradak in a little dive bar in Chicago?
With the tarot. I can't do it.
Please keep this on the podcast. I'm going to record it and have it as my alarm on my phone. So, you know,
read the tarot.
Oh my god. Sorry, Arnie. I'm trying to think. Like, I don't even know any celebrities, truly. Like, who do we know? Can I say Keanu Reeves? I love Keanu Reeves. I would die.
Yes.
I would honestly die. I fucking love Keanu Reeves. Yeah, yeah, like, I think he has bit interest in this anyway, so that'd be really cool.
Part of me was thinking Caitlin Moran, but I know she's not an actress.
As in, like, the writer? The author,
here for it.
Caroline Duffy, also amazing, like Mancunian based, like has a big impact for the LGBT community, can't really say I'm like a poet laureate though, so have to work on that one maybe.
So. I would say so. I've had a reading from you.
Yeah, I literally do not know. Yeah,
sorry about the tough who are playing in a movie of your life question. I love that question. I ask it to everybody in almost every circumstance because I always think it's so telling.
Right.
In the best way, not in a horrible way. But yeah, thank you so much for taking this time this evening to chat to me about divination and everything that you do. It was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, like this is a dream. I love chatting with you anyway, so this is just like one long conversation about great things. So thank you so much for having me. This has been such a joy. I hope people like what they hear. If they want to come and chat with me about divination, you can find me at backyardbanshee.com. I ain't afraid to self-promote. I'm going to plug.
Do it.
But no, seriously, that's where the best weirdos come and hang out. So come find me. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having a space for people to come and learn about all these wonderful things. I'm very excited about quite a lot of your guests that you've got coming up on these podcasts. How exciting.
It is very exciting.
So yeah, that's going to be great listening for me while I'm still pondering about who could play me in a movie.
Yeah, I expect to have a full report eventually.
Right. I'm going to ask for cards. What did they say?
Do it.
Yeah.
They'll tell you Keanu Reeves.
They will tell me Keanu Reeves. I am obsessed with Keanu Reeves for anybody listening. I do think like that is a god-tier human being, you know. I really love them. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a dream.
Thank you. It has been an absolute dream, and we will speak again soon. I'm so sure.
Thank you. So
thank you very much for tuning in again today. It has been an absolute pleasure. If you like this episode, you can enjoy it ad-free by becoming a Witchology subscriber. Not only do you get access to this podcast and lots of bonus episodes, you will also get a print subscription to our magazine, as well as cauldrons full of additional content on our exclusive members area on the website. Head to witchologymagazine.com/subscriptions to find out more. Until next time, goodbye.